Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hard times like
that. Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California. 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Listen, a lot to get into here on a Monday. Don't want to waste any time. We have a full crew here today. Let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona, Jake Dicker, G. Hay Wiley. Grant, I've been meaning to talk to you since Friday night. We have to get a state of the Clippers, obviously. I think, listen, regardless of whether you're a Clippers fan or not, I think everybody hopes for a Game 7, and obviously we didn't get that. The Clippers losing to the Dallas Mavericks in Game 6, closing out their season. Consecutive season that they lose in the first round, third consecutive that they either don't advance in the playoffs or don't make it past the first round. So they are in a difficult position now as they look towards the future. Grant, first of all, your thoughts on Game 6, maybe sort of like a continuation of what was going on. Again, you know, they played with so much fire without Kawhi to close out the seasons, and with their two wins in this series. But at the end of the day, I think we all know without Kawhi, they just don't have enough to beat to Dallas.
That's partly true, but it's also true that Paul George and James Harden were just complete no-shows in the last two games. After that game four, they just checked out, and they didn't give the effort. They didn't have pride. They didn't even take as many shots as I thought they should have. Game six was a disaster. There were some moments where, like, okay, the Clippers got back into it. They made it a game at the half. But when they came out of the half, it was just a disaster. Paul George shot, I think, four shots in the second half. James Harden. Look, I got to give James Harden a lot of credit. Like, he was probably the best player for the Clippers in the series. I know he had two kind of bad games towards the end, but overall, at least he was putting up assist numbers. At least he was getting the ball to guys. Paul George wasn't doing that. He wasn't defending. He was an absolute, I mean, it's such a disappointing series for him. Outside of games one and four, there's really nothing else you can point to and say that Paul George deserves a big contract. There's really nothing. And the Clippers are going to give it to him. That's the thing about it. The Clippers are going to run this back. All the reports point towards that. Steve Ballmer loves this core. They have a new arena opening. They have to have a competitive team going into this new arena. It's going to be the same team, probably. You really can't do much because they're going to be probably hard capped and over the second apron again. So you're just going to have to wait and see. And it's going to be the same thing next year. I mean, it's going to be another flame out in the first round or a play-in scenario or guys getting hurt and not being available. It's just what it is. At this point, it's not just me saying this. And then, Jihei, I know you feel the same way. There are Clipper fans that have been longtime Clipper fans that are just at this point where it's like, we don't care. Like, go ahead, run it back. It's going to be the same thing. I mean, how many times do we have to see the same team being run back for this to become not just something, oh, it was a freak thing. No, this is what happens. This is what happens around this time of year. And after all the, you know, it was a clear path for Paul George to take over as a number one option with Kawhi Leonard out. It was a full chance for Paul George to say, here, this is why I deserve a max contract. This is why you give me the money. It was a full runway for him, and he blew it. And he's still probably going to get a lot of money because people are going to look at an all-star this year. Oh, he's going to be all NBA caliber. But the fact of the matter is, when Paul George is even healthy, I mean, yes, he had that 2021 run, but his inconsistencies, not just physically, but mentally, like, there is no reason why PJ Tucker should outscore you of a game six winner go home. That's what happened, guys. Like, how does a guy that's at that level, that can be a number one guy, get to that point? And I know that he's had issues with his mental health in the past because of the bubble, but there are just so many, and what he said was the most deflating, guys, is that he said, is like, oh, there's no pressure on me. Like, I don't have to deliver for anybody. You know, I'm doing it for my teammates. There's no pressure on me. As I get older, there's no pressure. You know how much of a dagger that is to Clipper fans? Like, this was a guy between him and Kawhi Leonard that were supposed to bring a championship to LA for the Clippers. And now in year five, when everything is against you and all the odds are against you, and this is put up or shut up, like I've been saying, and you say that before you deserve it, before you're up for a contract? I mean, for Clipper fans, this is just, it's like putting the dagger in and twisting it. I mean, that is just such a bad statement to say. And I know that going into this Intuit Dome, I love the Intuit Dome. I'm going to be there. I'm going to love it. It's going to be fantastic. I love the redesign. But how am I going to get excited for a team that year in and year out has not given me any proof that they can do it in April and May? And that's the biggest thing, is that year after year, this team continues to underwhelm. And they're just going to keep saying, hey, yeah, let's do it again next year. And it's just going to be the same thing. Sorry for the rant, but I had to do it.
Loved it. And that's why we wanted you on today. And listen, I mean, that's coming from the heart. I mean, gee, hey, you've always been the very pessimistic Clippers fan. And obviously there's a track record there. Your thoughts again, once again, this team cannot get out of the first round. And again, once again, fourth year in a row, Kawhi's not there. I guess the joke is in the previous two postseason, Paul George was out, and Grant would probably argue he might as well have been out in this series. Your thoughts, G. Hay?
I'm going to continue to be the pessimistic fan. I've officially given up. I'm done. I'm done saying, you know what, this is what they can do for next year. Maybe they can add pieces. Maybe they can do this and that. I'm done. I'm done. I've given up hope. I'm still going to be a fan, guys, but you know, once Vegas gets their NBA team eventually, I think I'm going to jump ship. So and I've never said that, even during the really lean years of being a Clipper fan. Now, you guys are a little too young for this reference, but I know, Arash, you know, there was a scene in Mad TV where they had a scene called Lower Expectations. That is what I'm going to be doing for the Clippers from now on. I'm going to lower my expectations. I'm not going to have any expectations whatsoever. They make it past the first round and shock me, I will be ecstatic. I'm still going to root for you guys, but at the same time, I'm just going to lower them, lowering all of those expectations. I'm still of the mindset too, I would love for them to blow it up. It's not going to happen. Grant, you brought up a really great point, to your point, you know, that they're going to probably keep this core. Ballmer likes his core. You know, he wants to have these guys, you know, go to the Intuit Dome and play there. There are there are very few Clipper fans that are just like, well, once we get into the Intuit Dome, we have our own, you know, our own arena and stuff. And I'm like, I just don't see it, because if we're keeping those three, or we're keeping even just Paul George, it's going to be a very uphill battle for somebody that should be a captain caliber, should be, you know, playoff P, so to speak, you know, caliber, and you're not. So I'm done with my expectations, guys. I'm over it. I'm good. If they make it past the second round next season, great. Good for them. I'll root for them, but I'm not going to sit there and have any expectations anymore.
Yeah. Jake, I mean, just viewing this from afar, again, we begin the show, of course, starting with our two most favorite Clippers fans. As a Laker fans viewing this from afar, your thoughts on what is happening with the Clippers?
Yeah, I think we just talked about there are two things that were going to hinder the Clippers or could hinder the Clippers all year. It was health, and then it was the three stars all playing, you know, at, together well at the right time. And Kawhi goes out, and then, as you know, Grant passionately alluded to, Paul George and James Harden kind of disappear in those last two games after they had blown a 30-point lead and then found a way to win the game in game four. And you kind of feel like, all right, now they can kind of ride that momentum. The scare was there. They shook it off. As a Laker fan, I would have loved that, because then no one would be talking about the Lakers 22-point loss, because in comparison, that's not embarrassing at all. But I don't know how you get this Clippers roster to where it needs to be without blowing it up. Because I don't know with Paul George on the roster, because I'm sure they're going to pay him. Grant kind of nailed it on the head there. I don't really see a world in which Ballmer chooses to blow it up going into a dome, which I love. I know you need to put a good product out there in a new arena, but the basketball's the same size. The rim's the same size. Like, nothing, you still got to play the games. So at the end of the day, you can go into the new arena and it looks great, but if you're not winning the games, nothing matters. So I don't know exactly what the path is to get this roster from where it is now to where it needs to be to compete. Because like, health is always going to be there. And I know it sucks that you have to worry about Kawhi potentially going down, but we hear it every year. Like, that's kind of just part of it at this time of the year. Part of like the luck is just staying healthy. And Kawhi hasn't been able to do that. So I don't know. Do you really give up on that kind of generational talent because you're concerned he's not going to be available at this time of year? Like, that's a real concern if the goal is to win championships. So there are a lot of different questions that the Clippers and Steve Ballmer are going to have to answer going into this offseason. And it's not necessarily where I expected the Clippers to be. I had a ticket on them going to the finals, which I didn't necessarily expect them to get there. But at one point in the year, I did. Yeah. So, definitely not the way I saw this team going out.
No, listen,
well, sorry to interrupt, but the Vegas actually had them as the third favorite to go to the finals, which I thought was insane. I thought it was crazy. I was like, have they watched any games prior to this? Have they watched them during the playoffs and how consistent Kawhi has been on not playing in the playoffs with the Clippers? So I thought that was that you were just basically doing what Vegas told you to do, Jake, which was, you know, pick the Clippers to be third or whatever to go to the finals. So it's not far off, and I totally agree with you. Blow it up, guys.
I mean, there was a moment there. It may have just been one day, and I joked about this with Grant when that day came. I was like, well, like, the Clippers are the number one seed in the West. And I was like, listen, I've covered them for years and years. Like, I told people, like, they're a top four team, but I don't think that they're like the best team. And for one day they were the number one seed. Listen, Grant, we've been talking about the big four, if you can call it that, coming back. It does seem like one player will not be back. Russell Westbrook, if you can kind of describe again, that the Clippers have done an amazing job of keeping their business in-house, generally speaking. And it didn't take very long. In fact, I think it was post-game or basically a Friday night. We're hearing these reports that maybe Russell didn't want to come off the bench. Maybe he didn't like his role, this, that, and the other. And Russell, who normally doesn't respond, did on social. Just give us your thoughts on that whole situation. And just as a precursor, I mean, I really felt the Clippers were the best situation for him in the sense that he was back home. He was in Los Angeles. Things really did not turn out obviously well when he was with the Lakers. So he was with a team that really wanted him. Paul George obviously thinks very highly of him. Kawhi as well. So does James Harden. Your thoughts on what's happening there?
Yeah, so it's kind of a buried story, but apparently Russell Westbrook coming off the bench wasn't his decision. And I kind of speculated this at the beginning when it actually happened. It was actually just a PR piece by the Clippers just to make, you know, prop him up. And yeah. This report could be wrong. I mean, there's nothing that says that this source is absolutely true on this, but the report came out that it was just, hey, Lawrence Frank and the front office kind of forced him to move to the bench in this bench role. I mean, obviously he did a pretty good job in that role as an energizer bunny coming off the bench, as a spark off the bench throughout the regular season. But I mean, his season came to a crashing end. I mean, that playoffs for him, that was like what we saw from him with the Lakers. That was how bad it was. And it's so unfortunate because in the playoffs the year prior without Kawhi Leonard, even with Kawhi Leonard, he was averaging over 20 points a game and 7 rebounds a game and 8 assists a game in those playoffs against the Suns in 2023. And this year, obviously with a lesser role because you have better players in front of him, he was just a disaster. And I don't know if it was the fact of the matter that the Mavericks' defense was better. They had a lot of length, but he just looked so out of sorts, just throwing balls at the rim. It looked like the Lakers version of him. And it was so weird because down the stretch without Kawhi Leonard for those 3 weeks, Russell Westbrook put up like a triple-double against the Suns, the game that you were at, Arash.
Yeah.
And he put up like so many great stat lines that I thought that, oh, okay, well, if you have him coming off the bench with Norm Powell, it's a great thing. Now, I mean, he goes on and makes that statement. And Arash, I don't know if he's done with the Clippers because in that statement that he posted on Instagram, it was kind of like, hey, I'm going to be back next year and be better. Because he does have a player option.
I see.
So it's kind of a scenario where like maybe it's better off if he's not a Clipper, like for the team, but he does have the option to come back if he wants to. Now, there are a lot of teams that could probably use his energy and his spark as well. Like, I feel like the Suns are a great fit for him with Kevin Durant. They need a point guard, and I know that Russell Westbrook isn't the same version, but the Suns could use him. The Miami Heat could probably use him. There's a few teams that could use his services, but I just think that he loves it here. Look, the fans love Russell Westbrook here. The Clipper fans love him. They have his head on a cardboard poster during the game. Yeah. I mean, he has his own section in the crowd. Like, Clipper fans love him. It's just a fact of the matter. Like, does he fit into their equation? Because honestly, Arash, I like Bones Highland better than him right now. Yeah. And I've loved Bones Highland for a while. So I don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see, I guess.
The other big news that we got on Friday, obviously, no surprise there, but Darvin Ham, no longer the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. The fan favorite was Ty Lue, who I think Grant would not have a problem with, but it does seem like the Clippers will keep him as the head coach. The J.J. Redick portion of this, and we'll see if we have time. No, we'll have time. I definitely want to get G.A.'s thoughts, but first, Jake. Again, no surprise that Ham is no longer the head coach. I mean, when you just look at it, though, years down the line, I mean, the guy took this team that had not made the playoffs the previous year. He took them to the postseason and back-to-back seasons. The first season, amazingly, took them to the Western Conference Finals. Again, won't get any credit for that. But your thoughts on the Lakers moving on from Darvin Ham and who they should hire to be the next head coach?
I think it was definitely necessary. I don't really see a world in which Darvin coming back was a positive for this organization in any shape or form. I think the J.J. Redick point is really interesting because I love J.J. Redick as a person. I think there is no one who is better as an analyst with X's and O's currently in the game right now than J.J. Redick. I mean, you listen to him talk about basketball and it's not just one of these guys who's on ESPN or who's trying to drive a narrative or look for clicks. Like, he is analyzing, I mean, out of bounds plays, like different sets guys are running. It just sounds like a guy who gets the game. But that being said, it scares me hiring a guy who's never, I know he sat on a bench as a player for years, but who's never sat on a bench as a coach and throwing him right into a head coaching role. I mean, the two obvious ones I can think of are Steve Nash, which was a disaster, and Steve Kerr, which obviously was incredibly successful, but he was handed one of the best rosters that, I mean, this league's ever seen. And this Lakers situation is obviously very different. So, I mean, I saw names. I saw Mike Budenholzer's name. I saw Ty Lue's name. I saw J.J. Redick's name. Anytime there's a Laker opening, Kenny Atkinson's name is thrown out there. Right. Whoever it is, I would love to see them make a hire that's not so LeBron-driven and LeBron-specific. Which a Ty Lue or J.J. Redick hire would feel like it was very much an appeasement to LeBron. But if that's what it has to take to get him back, I guess that's what you have to do. But I'm very much in the mindset that the Lakers need to start looking into the post-LeBron era and kind of start preparing for that as much as they can. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with this hire.
Hey, I mean, this is going to make us feel super old. I mean, your thoughts on J.J. Redick, a potential next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers?
I think as far as the Lakers are concerned, I don't think it's a great fit. As far as the appeasing LeBron, it's an amazing fit because they're boys and have a podcast together. And I get it. I get why he would, you know, want to push his guy forward. But I feel like I'm with Jake on this one. Like, I think that, you know, maybe ease yourself in, kind of, right? If you are going to get a head coaching job, I know that he was getting interviewed by Charlotte, I believe, as well. They opened up an interview for him as well, talked to him about maybe possibly coaching over there. But Yeah, I think he should ease in on this. He is a phenomenal mind when it comes to basketball. This is what you guys didn't see, but I saw when he played in college for 3 years at Duke. So I like, that's the JJ Redick I think that like all Duke fans have already known, that he has this ridiculous basketball IQ. It's insane how well-versed he is analytically, and on top of it, he's been there with those boys and he's been in the trenches as well, so he can definitely relate. Would I hire him? Not for the Laker job, but I mean, but I would hire him elsewhere, right? I'd hire him to be on a bench. I'd hire him to be, you know, as an assistant or something like that, so he can get his feet wet.
Grant, before we say goodbye to you, I wanted to get your thoughts, because again, Ty Lue is probably, when I say the safest pick, or again, like a track record of success, won a championship with LeBron. It does seem that Clippers want him back. How is Ty thought amongst Clipper fans, and what are your thoughts on his long-term future there?
Clipper fans don't really like him, but the thing is that what else are your what are your other options? Yeah. Like, if he goes to another team, he's going to be good. Like, we just know that. I mean, and honestly, a lot of this is really not his fault. He's one of the best guys with X's and O's. He's a very good players coach. Like, sure, some of his rotations are bad sometimes, but that's like every coach in the game. So I feel like extending him is the right move, because if you don't, he's going to go across the city and go to the Lakers anyway. So do you want to see him into the purple and gold? Probably not, as a Clippers front office. So I think the best option is to extend him. Like I said, it's really not been his fault. What has he been dealt with? Guys that have been hurt all the time that don't perform? Like, he puts out good lineups. It's just that the matter of fact is that they haven't been healthy. So
Listen, this is going to be a fun summer. It's going to be a long summer because, again, our teams are out in the first round. But we'll see how all of this plays out. We'll say goodbye to Grant, and we will welcome Will Desperate when we come back. Talk about the Vegas Golden Knights. Their season also coming to an end in a game 7 against another team from Dallas. So we'll talk about all that and more when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 against Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline, 310-400-0340. All right, talked a lot about the Clippers and the Lakers. Now want to bring in Will Desbart, who does an amazing job with the Sporting Tribune. Also, Jake Dicker, talk a little bit of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Will, you've been covering the Vegas Golden Knights this entire season. They were the defending Stanley Cup champions. They have just never been totally healthy this season. They kind of... struggle to even get to the playoffs. They go up against the top seeded Dallas Stars. They win the first two games, and then the wheels came off. Again, a great game 7. They had a chance to advance. Well, let's start here. Your thoughts on that game 7. Again, a very emotional game 6 win at home to force that game 7. Your thoughts on what happened late last night?
Well, it was a classic tense game 7, right? It looked like they had a chance all the way until the end, really. But I think everything just caught up to them, all the injuries, the fatigue, the whole season, really. I mean, they just couldn't take it anymore. You could see Mark Stone laboring at the end of the game. Like, they gave him some spleen shots. He couldn't take it. They just ran out of gas, really. And if you remember what I said the last time you had me on here a few days ago, I said they were going to lose game five, win game six, and then lose game seven. So
now, did you place some bets there? I mean, you know what you're talking about.
I didn't, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. Jake, have you been watching from afar? Your thoughts again? I mean, you know, the great thing about the Stanley Cup playoffs, as we saw with the Kings back in the day in Los Angeles, and it's crazy to even think it's been 10 years. You know, in 2012 and 2014, I mean, you know, they were not a top seeded team, but they just got there. They got the play from Jonathan Quick and they found a way. So when Vegas got into the postseason and they got Mark Stone back and then won the first two games in Dallas, I'm like, here we go again. They were not able to do it though. Your thoughts on the end of the line? There will be a new home for the Stanley Cup this year.
Yeah, did you see this official Stanley Cup Twitter account put out a tweet that was like, everything happened in Vegas, ... except for me, which I thought was just a gut punch that Vegas that night didn't need. But I mean, weird series. Like, Vegas wins the first two on the road and then they lose two at home, and then, you know, they split, the home team wins the last three. But, you know, in a game seven on the road, I mean, you two things you gotta do. You gotta score first and you gotta kind of play from ahead. I guess those two things kind of go hand in hand. But Wyatt Johnson, I mean, 20-year-old phenom Dallas, just scores his fourth goal of the series to go up 1-0 in the first. Vegas gets the equalizer, and then Dallas comes out in the third and scores a minute in to kind of energize that home crowd and really put Vegas on the ropes. But yeah, Rosh, you know, like, they got healthy at the right time and they win the first two, and it's kind of like, all right, here we go. Because hockey, there's so much parity in the Stanley Cup playoffs where it's just whoever's healthy and whoever gets hot can go ahead and win a cup, and kind of felt like it was headed towards that as the defending champions, and then kind of just ran out of gas, as Will alluded to there. So interesting year for the Knights, like, never totally healthy, and thought that once they got everyone back on the ice, it would kind of find its way to work out, and it looked like it was going to be that way, and then just not necessarily the end that Vegas fans were looking for.
Now, Will, a lot of decisions for this team as they go into the summer. Clearly, when you win the Stanley Cup, you want to bring the majority of that team back to defend. Clearly, probably not the case when you, again, bounced in round one. Jonathan Marchessault is on. He has a big contract that he's going to get. Now, whether it comes from Vegas or whether it comes from someone else, I really hope, because of his connection, as you know, that he has to Vegas, that it happens here. Your thoughts on how this team looks in the future?
Well, I mean, unless Marchessault makes a sacrifice in either length or money, I don't think he's going to be back next year, because he's just going to get something in free agency that's unjustifiable to not take.
Yeah.
And I think the reaction to that isn't going to be very good here. It's going to be similar to when Fleury got traded, because, I mean, Marchessault has become the cornerstone of this franchise. He's the most recognizable player now in the history of the team. And I think without him, it's going to be a much different look. But I think they're set up well for the future. For now, I think having Hurdle and Hannifin locked up is good for them, and it allows them to build something. But I don't think Marchessault is going to be back.
And Jake, I'll just one more question with the Kings again. I you know, they just went up against, for 3 years in a row, the one team that they did not want to play, Connor McDavid and Edmonton. So they lose in game seven 3 years ago. They lose in game six 2 years ago. They lose in game five, and I really don't want to see a sweep next season. But that being said, they have developed a very good young team that's growing, but they're just going up against a wall in the first round of the playoffs. What do you think about the Kings going into the future?
Yeah, I put, after they lost game five, I put out a tweet that said that we should petition to change the month of April in LA to death by Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, and Connor McDavid. Yeah, so the Kings have done a good job the last few years of kind of developing this young core, and then they went out and made their big move for Pierre Dubois that just kind of turned out to be an absolute disaster, and it was never more evident than in this series against Edmonton. But it's just another, you know, pivotal offseason for Rob Blake to try and figure this out. It's, they're going to have to do something, because that top line of Kopitar and Trevor Moore, it was producing, and then they go out there and can't really get anything going in the playoffs. And special teams was just an absolute disaster. Got absolutely cold. If you look at the series, it was really even outside of when Edmonton was a man up. And the Kings couldn't get anything going to save their lives. And Edmonton's power play was essentially a goal every single time. And you had Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid out there wreaking absolute havoc. So it's a really interesting offseason, because they have a lot of options. They can move some guys, they can bring some guys in, have a little bit of money to play with. So it'll be interesting to see what the team looks like moving into next year.
So now that all of our teams are out, kind of a slow period here at TST, the Sporting Tribune, where we cover Southern California, Las Vegas, Hawaii. So no Lakers, no Clippers, no Kings, no Golden Knights. Will, I'm going to start with you because I kind of want to get your guys' thoughts still on the postseason because we're just past the first round. And so we will still be watching. Let's start with the Stanley Cup playoffs. Will, again, no Golden Knights, no Kings. Who's your pick to win the whole thing?
Before the playoffs started, I had Panthers over the Stars. So I still like that for now. I think the Stars are probably a little bit gassed from this series, and they're going to have to go face Colorado now, which could be tough. But if they get by that, I love their chances to get to the final. And the Panthers just seem like a wagon right now, so I feel fine about that.
Jake, who is your pick?
I was going to run with the Panthers, too. The Panthers playoff run every year just kind of seems inevitable at this point. They just know how to play hockey this time of year. So I'll ride with Florida.
And again, no Lakers, no Clippers. But now as we get to the next round, the second round of the NBA playoffs, Will, who's your pick?
Well, I had the Nuggets, but after seeing game one here with the Wolves, I mean, they look like a team that could take them out. Like they look like last year, if you remember, they were the team that really gave the Nuggets like the biggest challenge, even though it was in the first round. And they're obviously a much better group this year. So, I mean, why not? Why not the T-Wolves?
And then T-Wolves over the Celtics, you think?
Celtics, yeah. Well, we'll see about when we get there, but maybe.
And Jake?
Yeah, I think the boring answer is Boston over Denver. Like, that's very boring. If I'm going to get a little, like, the fun one, I would love to see the Knicks make a run. I just don't necessarily see the supporting cast with Jalen Brunson being able to carry them past a Boston, or if they get to the finals past either a Denver or a Minnesota, whoever it may be. So I'll go with Boston over Denver just because I'm not going to let one game of Denver distort what they've done for the last 2+ years, just utter dominance.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. You know, it was just frustrating. Again, the Lakers are not the Timberwolves, so they don't have the size of the Timberwolves, but it was just really frustrating watching that game one, thinking like, man, like Jokic looks like a human. Like he's not a, he's not, he looks so good in that first round series against the Lakers. All right, we're going to get big news this week, or at least, you know, the news that we're all kind of hoping for as we try to plan our fall. The NFL schedule is apparently going to come out. And a lot of questions going into this season. So, Jake, I'm going to start with you. I think a lot of people are very excited or high on the Rams this season, just because I think a year ago that run kind of came out of nowhere in terms of, obviously no one thought Puka Nacua was going to have the season that he was going to have. They had one of the worst, if not the worst, title defenses in league history, and then they win 10 games, came this close to beating Detroit. And now 1 year post that, rebuild happened a lot quicker than a lot of people thought. Colin Cowherd has the Rams as a top five team. Your thoughts on the Rams going into this season?
Yeah, I've been a little higher on the Rams going into this year than I thought I was going to be, especially after this draft that they had. I loved their first four rounds. They got Jared Verse at 19, who was my personal number one edge rusher in the class out of Florida State. You go back a year ago, and this is a guy who was a surefire top 10 pick, questionable top 5 pick. Falls to them at 19. They traded up. They gave up a ton to get his teammate Braden Fisk in the second round, who's a little bit undersized and can kind of get a little erratic at times, but is quick and can move and gets the quarterback. And then they took Blake Corum in the third round, who I didn't expect them to necessarily take a running back that has a very similar skill set to Kyren Williams. I was thinking if they were going to draft at that position, it would have been a guy, maybe a Braylon Allen. I know that's a little bit of a homer pick given that I'm the Wisconsin guy, who just presents a different skill set than Kyren Williams does, maybe provide a couple different looks. But Corum's obviously one of the top running back talents in the class. And they grabbed Cameron Kitchens in the fourth round, safety out of Miami, who I absolutely love. Was shocked that he fell that deep. Just an absolute gamer who'll go out there and get after the football. So you throw that out there with Matthew Stafford and kind of how they finished up the end of last year. I know they lost Raheem Morris, which is definitely going to be an adjustment. But Sean McVay pulling the strings, never have any doubts or questions there. So I think going into this year, especially what's happened around the rest of the division, I don't know how much better Seattle got. I don't know how much better Arizona got. Maybe San Francisco got a little worse. So So it could be a year for the Rams to make some noise. Definitely the goal is get back to the playoffs. I think anything short of that is a disappointment. Obviously, there's a lot that goes into that before we get to that point. But I think as of now, that's a very reasonable expectation, is a return to the playoffs and maybe win a game or two.
We could be having five training camps in Southern California. The New Orleans Saints are they have their training camp in Irvine. The Dallas Cowboys up in Ventura County. The Raiders are talking this week about moving their camp to Costa Mesa, where the Chargers were. The Chargers are moving to El Segundo, and the Rams are moving to the San Fernando Valley. So, I mean, a lot happening. Will, speaking of the Raiders, you were at their draft party. Again, I don't think that they have the talent to compete in the West, at least this season. I could be wrong, but your thoughts on them going into this season?
Well, you're right there. I think I'm just interested to see really how it plays out. I mean, the quarterback position is obviously the biggest question mark. It's either going to be Gardner, Minshew, or Aiden O'Connell. I mean, I think it'll probably be Minshew, but we'll see. I'm interested to see how Brock Bowers and Devontae Adams look in the same offense together. I think that could look pretty good, and especially if you give them a few years. Defensively, still a lot of question marks. I think having Jack Jones in that system for the second year, he'll be able to force more turnovers. And I think obviously having Antonio Pierce being the coach of that team is a huge boost. But yeah, I'm not sure how much mobility there is in the AFC West to even like go up from 7 wins or 8 wins. Like, because you're playing the Chiefs twice. You're going to play the Chargers twice, Broncos twice, or maybe aren't those two teams, but still not an easy time to go to Denver. So
yeah. Jake, it's a fun time to be a Chargers fan in the sense that Jim Harbaugh, his track record for success, when you look at what he's done, you know, whether it's at the University of San Diego or the San Francisco 49ers or Michigan, it's like he turns it around fairly quickly. And so I think that there's a lot of people who think, despite the fact that the Chargers didn't make the playoffs a year ago, they've always had one of the most talented teams in the league. And now they have one of the best coaches in the league. Your thoughts on the Chargers again? Tough division, but I think if Herbert can be playing like he was a couple of years ago, one of the best young quarterbacks in the league, I think the Chargers can very quickly contend.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is going to be a much different look Chargers team. Keenan Allen shipped off to Chicago. Austin Eckler's out of there. They brought in Gus Edwards to kind of fill that role. They drafted Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. That's just going to be a gunner run up and down the field for them. Drafted Joe Alt with a number 5 overall pick to really address their number one need, which is just protect Justin Herbert. So with him out there and Harbaugh calling the shots, it's definitely a situation where I feel like we have these conversations about Kansas City every year where is this the year where they take a step back? And the Chargers have kind of found a way to retool their approach. I feel like we're going to approach the Chiefs, you know, in a much different way. And you know, Justin Herbert is always an MVP candidate, right? He's one of the top 2 or 3 arm talents in the league alone. And you have Harbaugh back there who's kind of going to make things a lot easier for him. I don't hate what the Chargers did at all. It's a lot different because they shipped out a lot of big name weapons and didn't necessarily bring a ton in. But I think they brought in guys who can provide very comparable, you know, amounts of production. And with a new guy at the helm, there's no reason why they can't make some noise.
Jake, I'm going to start with you here because, you know, without, again, a lot of our local teams in the postseason, then now the focus is now shifting over to baseball. And I think if anyone focuses on the Dodgers, they looked obviously very good this weekend. A sweep of the Atlanta Braves. I mean, the Braves came in as the best team in baseball, obviously, this entire season. Or at least coming into the season, the thought was that, you know, it's the Dodgers, but if it's not the Dodgers, it's the Braves. And for the Dodgers to sweep the Braves the way that they did, I mean, that has to make you feel very good about the way that the team is playing right now.
Yeah, it has to make you feel good, right? I don't want to read too far into a series in early May, but the Dodgers saw Max Fried and they saw Charlie Morton, who right now are probably two guys at the top of that rotation with Spencer Strider on the IL for the rest of the year. And Tyler Glasnow and Yoshinobu Yamamoto have solidified themselves as the clear top 1-2 combo in baseball. If you take Yamamoto's one inning disaster in Korea out of his stat line, he's 3-0 with a 1.64 and he's holding opponents to a 2.03 batting average. And he's striking out guys at an absurd clip. The top of the order is producing like nothing I've ever seen before. Shohei has figured it out and is really putting together what looks like an MVP case solely as a DH, which I, for one, did not expect coming into this year at all. And they do this thing where they struggle out of the gate. They'll go about 500 in April. And then from like May through August, the Dodgers will play like 800 baseball. They'll just go 60 and 15 every summer. And they've won 11 of their last 13. And it kind of seems like this is what we're headed towards. Walker Buehler comes back tonight. Makes his debut, which is huge. His first time on a mound in about 2 years, or in a big league game in about 2 years. And if you can roll into a playoff series, this is me being very optimistic, with a healthy Glasnow, Yamamoto, Buehler, and then you fill in that four slot with anyone, whether it's James Paxton, Bobby Miller. We haven't even talked about Emmett Sheehan yet. There are so many guys. That rotation is so deep, and I feel like that's the one thing. I know we talked about the offense collapsing every year in the playoffs. I think that that's more of a fluky thing. I feel like with the starting pitching, like the depth of starting pitching has really been what's holding this Dodgers team back. And if they can roll into the playoffs, pitching wins in October with a healthy rotation, they're the favorites to win it all. There's no, especially after this weekend, there's no excuse for them not being able to put it together and do it all this October.
Will, by the way, you went viral this week. I think you will have a lot of viral moments this season covering one of the hottest teams in the WNBA and some of the best players. By the way, the fact that the WNBA League Pass can't figure out a way to stream some of these games. I mean, it's 2024. Get your, you know what, together. Will, your thoughts on the WNBA this season? You were at Media Day and you're killing it. What's your thoughts on this team? Las Vegas going for three straight.
Well, I think they're obviously the favorites, and I'm interested to see how this roster turns out. They have one more cut to make. They cut Bria Hartley earlier today. So, I mean, we'll see if Iowa's Kate Martin makes the roster, Syracuse's Daeja Fair. Those are the two big question marks. If they make it, one veteran's going to get cut. It could be Sydney Colson or Kirsten Bell, which is obviously two huge names in Vegas for what they've done from the bench and just from like an emotional support standpoint for the team. And for the WNBA itself, obviously, this season is just a huge moment. I mean, we know who's coming into the league. We know it's Caitlin Clark. We know it's Angel Reese. We know it's this next generation of stars. And there's so many more eyes going to be on the sport. And like you said, to not have the game on streaming is insane. That's something they need to get together. And something that everyone who's been covering the league has said for years is, like, they do a lot of this stuff to themselves. So, I mean, you hope that with the new set of eyeballs on them that they'll get their you-know-what together, like you said, and figure it out, because they have to.
What is the practice facility like? I have still not gone out to Henderson. Again, that is the gold standard.
It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, so that's what a lot of teams are hoping to do. I mean, tell me, I think that was your first time there. What did that look like?
Well, it's branched off the Raiders facility. Like, it's in the same, like, cluster of buildings. So when you go in there, it's all sleek, like the inside of the Raiders facility is. It's state of the art. Like, it's insane. It's really, I mean, it has to be the best in the WNBA. I can't imagine there's anything better right now. I mean, I know the Sky, I think in Chicago, just upgraded their facilities, but I mean, yeah, it's on par with what has to be like some of the highest Division I facilities, and even maybe some NBA ones.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just very excited about this season, and Jake, when he's back in Los Angeles, we'll go out to a game. We normally go out to a Sparks game. But listen, I mean, when we look at our YouTube traffic right now, just to give you guys behind the scenes, like, our biggest numbers are right now WNBA video. And listen, I think fans are excited. They want the content. And it's absolutely crazy that the league is not doing a better job of providing it. I think that they will. They saw an illegal stream do 2 million views. So I don't think that they want that to happen. All right, guys, you're the best. We'll have you back on soon. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe, stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.